Good to see Brother Carroll with us. Glad to see Sister Laura back with us. And we're happy to see a lot of visitors back there. We appreciate your visiting this morning and hope you come back when the opportunity arises. It's a very appropriate song there leading into my lesson this morning. God loves His people even when they neglect or disobey Him. He has great blessings to bestow on those who are faithful to Him. His love never ends. I think all of us could attest to that and know how true that truly is. We have security in the Lord, don't we? When we accept His ways and try to practice it to the best of our ability. Isaiah 51:7 says, "Hearken unto me, ye that know righteousness, the people in whose heart is my law, fear ye not the reproach of men, neither be ye afraid of their revelings." Promises of God, they're given to a particular people, aren't they? Those who have received His Son, those who accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. There's some, though, that mistakenly try to claim the promises without truly receiving Jesus Christ as their Savior. One may quote the beautiful 23rd Psalm, an enjoyous descriptive description of green pastures and still water, but it is vital to remember that the overflowing thought here of this psalm was based upon the first sentence and His expression of praise for the provision, "The Lord is my shepherd." It's a beautiful psalm, and it sounds beautiful, but in order for us to truly enjoy the meaning of that psalm, we need to have the Lord as our shepherd. We need to accept that Jesus Christ as our Savior. Maybe we've been reading the Bible to find peace, and your fears remain. Maybe we need to look at how we are worshiping God. Maybe we aren't truly saved like we wish we were. Maybe we have things we need to correct. When we read the Bible, we should be able to find peace and contentment. Isaiah 54:4 says, "Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame, for thou shalt not forget the shame of thy youth, for thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth, and shalt not remember the reproach of thy widowhood any more." The fear of failure holds back many of us from worthwhile accomplishments, doesn't it? Projects are abandoned before they are launched. Church buildings, plans are scrapped. Business opportunities are lost. And witnessing responsibilities are neglected. Some marriages might be postponed. Evangelizing is squelched. And all because failure or embarrassment is a possibility. We may stand at the very brink of success or blessings, but we're afraid to make that decisive move that is required to begin the journey to our brightest hour. There's a possibility of failure, and we fear what others will say if we do not succeed. Biggest problem of my life is probably thinking about maybe people not liking what I did or not doing it the way I was supposed to. Having listed all the negatives to be that your decision is sound, you're dwelling on them and paralyzed by their power. So fear has its grip on us, doesn't it? But what if we do not succeed? What if others laugh? What if the community is witness to our blunder? And what if we're humiliated? That's a big fear, isn't it? But as we think about other questions that we might ask, what if you could have succeeded, but you didn't try? What might have been the result of an all-out effort? What might the community have thought of the step of faith that brought evident blessings? How many might have been won to Christ had you not been afraid to launch out and talk to them about that? Between these scary alternatives lies the will of God, and we need to find that, don't we? We need to put that in our life. When we do, move ahead in faith. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed. His blessings will attend our way. Isaiah 54:17 says, no weapons that is formed against thee shall prosper. Every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Imagine not having to worry about protecting yourself. This is the position of a servant of Christ if we're living in God's will. No matter what happens, God will see us through that situation. So we don't have to live with that fear. Our journey through this world may not be easy because God has not promised us skies of blue and flower-hued pathways all our life through. But God has promised to protect His servants. The devil uses many weapons, doesn't he, to try to sway us from the truth and try to get our mind going in the wrong direction. The sounds of some of these things might frighten us, and it might even lead us to be defeated. But we need not ever accept that if we truly live and praise God and do the things He's asked us to do. We will come through victorious, and God will not allow us to be defeated unless we insist on fighting in our own strength. And I think therein lies the weakness of many that don't want to try, many that have the fear in their heart, many who worry about what other people think about them. We need to fight with God on our side and know that He is truly watching over us. Tongues may rise against you. Jesus warned in Luke 6:26, woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. Nevertheless, if we rest in the Lord and do not defend ourselves, try to live on our own abilities and try to take care of that on our own, our consistency of life will condemn the slanders, and our good testimony will cause the words to be falling harmless to the ground and missing their mark. We do not have to argue for righteousness. We do not have to argue for our position in life. I think people know when we truly praise God and are worshiping Him and doing His will. We need to let our Heavenly Father take care of the critics. And we need to quit worrying about the things that we worry about and turn them over to God and let Him help us through that situation. Lamentations 3:22-23 says, "It is the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness." God never wears down, does He? God is there for us each and every day. In this book here is a shout of triumph when we read these words. This is a remarkable testimony to breathe and force of God's divine grace, isn't it? No scene is so terrible to absolutely exclude all visions of God and His being there each and every morning when we start anew. Were our eyes but open, we could see that and know that God is in our presence every day. Surely it is a great consolation for desponding that even the exceptional sufferer of Lamentations here sees the unceasing mercies of God. This may be one of your down days. I doubt that very much, because it's the Lord's day, and most of us here this morning truly believe in God, don't we? And we know this is the Lord's day. But maybe tomorrow or one day through the week we might have a down day. God has brought us through these times before. But the problem is we feel embarrassed, don't we, when we come seeking help again. And we wonder if God may be tired of our depression and our trials and the things that we keep coming back asking for help with. How many times can one expect God to lift us from despair? Especially when we keep falling back into the same rut. Here's the good news. God's mercies are new every morning. Did you think you've exhausted God's grace yesterday or last week? There's a fresh supply available every morning because God is faithful. Bring Him today's burdens and you will find help for today. You will find help through those things that are trying your heart. Your heart will echo the great old song, "Great is Thy faithfulness." His mercies are new every morning. Hebrews 13:6 says, "So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." What a wonderful thing to think about. Eliminating the fear of people is a major victory. And Solomon wrote, "The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whosoever putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe." It's found in Proverbs 29:25. Since God is our helper, we should be brave. And we should face dangers with the knowledge that God is there to help us. When fear is conquered, we have stopped the major energy drain of our life. And most of this energy is wasted on fears that are unreal. The unseen is indeed the most terrible to our feeble minds. What would you do for God today if you were not afraid? And why are we afraid? Do you fear criticism of others? Do you fear loss of friends? Do you fear embarrassment or ridicule? could be many things causing us to think that way. Whom do we really want to please in life? Who is our closest friend? Is there anyone closer than Christ, our Savior, and God above Almighty that created everything we see? Are we addicted to the praise of others? Perhaps we're controlled by fear because we have not fully surrendered to the Lord. We have not truly given our life to God, even though maybe we've accepted Jesus, been baptized, and a part of the church. Maybe we need to think about surrendering more of our life to Jesus Christ and God. Early Christians were characterized by courage, living in hostile times. They risked their lives to carry the gospel to the world. The secret of their boldness was prayer and surrender to the Lord. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. Acts 4:31. Our helper makes us unafraid. 1 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but the power and love of a sound mind." Revelation 1:17 says, "And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last." When you think about it, and think about all the things going on in your life, think about your Christian duties and the things that you need to do, there's really only one question about life and death. Did Jesus Christ raise from the grave? And careful investigation allows only one answer. He did arise, and he does live today. Since Christ lives, those who trust him do not need to fear. We do not need to fear life's end. What a wonderful thing to not have to fear that end of life. No one is more miserable than the person who lives in fear from some illness or accident that will bring death. There's an old saying that says, "Here lies a man who lived to age, yet still from death was flying, who though not sick, was never well, and dies for fear of dying." Christians do not need to fear in this life or the life hereafter. Many of us are brave in that because we know what life hereafter brings. We know what God has promised. Bible Christianity embraces all of life and faces the issues of death, preparing the believer for both. Paul said it well, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Philippians 1:21. How can we prepare to live and to die? By receiving Jesus Christ as our Savior, and by having the faith that Jesus Christ did raise. Jesus Christ is our Savior, and he has promised us eternal life after death if we have done what he asked us to do. Accept the invitation today that says, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Romans 10 and 9. What an invitation. And all we need to do is confess Jesus Christ is the Son of God and our Savior and be baptized and repent. When we take the step of faith, we need to expect changes, though, don't we? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. Wouldn't you this morning like to be free from fear? If we have not accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, you have that opportunity as the invitation is offered. We need to trust the living one today, and we need to start a new life in Christ today. And the angels in heaven will rejoice, and God in Christ will also rejoice. So as we offer the invitation this morning to anyone outside of Jesus Christ or anyone who has erred from the truth, if you have any needs to bring before the church, we give you that opportunity as we stand and sing.